Welcome to People Seek Meeple, the board game problem solvers.
Yeah, hi, hey, welcome, hello. Wow, it's been so long.
We're overcompensating now because we waited like 4 months between episodes last time.
And yeah.
Like, we just don't want to do that to you again.
I think our last episode was in October.
Yeah.
Apart from the previous one we just published.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
So here we go.
Here we are.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Where have we been? Where are we right now?
Well, now we're still in Athens.
Now we're... yep.
I think they know that. Today we are recording in Kaisa Cafe in downtown Athens. It's lovely. Athens is cool.
Yeah. The bakeries are probably my favorite part of Athens so far. Probably. Yeah. You can get like a million really delicious things for like... $3.
Like more than you should.
Yeah, really good.
It's too easy.
It's way too easy. Yeah. We didn't eat vegetables for like a week.
It was bad.
We felt
it. It was very bad. I suddenly understand why we need vegetables.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Anyways. We've been playing a lot of Keyforge.
Yes. Last time we talked about Keyforge, we only had 2 decks.
Yeah.
And
now we have more.
Now we have more. Shaleen wasn't a big fan of it to start off with, but I think something has clicked.
It makes more sense now. I'm starting to understand how things fit together. We had 2 decks that it was very, very difficult for one of the decks to win. It took us a very long time. And finally, the deck defeated the master deck. And then we got some more decks, and I was able to sort of balance things and see strategies, and it kind of started to make sense.
Yeah.
Despite Will's current 9-game winning streak, I am enjoying Keyforge.
Yeah. So we went from 2 decks to 6, and we'll probably stick at 6 for a while.
Probably.
Maybe.
6 is...
Who knows?
We have at least one of each house now. It took we had to get the 6th one because we couldn't get a Mars faction.
Yeah.
A Mars
now we've
house.
Got Mars.
So we caught them all, everybody. it was much easier than Pokemon. Highly recommend.
But yeah, thoroughly enjoying Keyforge so far. It was a good impression from Essen, and since then it's still been very good. I've pretty much only played against Shaleen so far.
Yeah. He'll have a much harder time playing against other people, I think.
We don't know that.
Yeah. We here at People Seek Meeple like to solve your board game problems. If you have a question about what game to play next with your game group, or what game to get your old Aunt Sally, who has too many cats, but maybe you could train one of them to play board games.
Welcome to the hobby, Sally.
Yeah, we could help with that. You can send us an email with your question at peopleseekmeeple@gmail.com, or we have a Reddit, r/peopleseekmeeple.
That is the name of our podcast.
I almost said r/Reddit, which might break the internet. Don't try searching that.
So let's get right into the meat of it. Question 1. And this question is from Reddit user Scissors the Squid. S-Z the Squid, Scissors the Squid, something like that. Any recommendations of games similar to Carcassonne? My girlfriend loves it because it's like a competitive puzzle. I'm aware of other Carcassonne versions. I have the big box and we've been playing the app. What else is there?
There's a lot more, but we're going to tell you about 2. So first, I thought that you might enjoy Caverna Cave versus Cave, which is specifically a 2-player iteration of the ideas from Caverna. So it's got that puzzle aspect, and it's competitive. You can definitely screw each other over. Not that we would ever do that sort of thing.
No.
Playing board games with each other. So there's sort of like a row of actions that you can choose to take, but only one person per round can take each action.
Classic worker placement.
Yeah. So you each have your own player board, which is a cave, and you're working on building your cave. bigger and bigger. And then as the game progresses, more different actions are available to you guys.
You have to be careful when building your cave, because wall placement is quite important, so it requires a little bit of forethought. And there are actions that let you take actions in the rooms that you've built, so you can do kind of like a sweet little chain reaction type of thing.
A little combo platter.
Yeah, nice.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. So that's Cave versus Cave by Uwe Rosenberg and published by Lookout Games.
My suggestion for you is a lovely little tile placement area control action point allocation game, Akrotiri, which is also strictly a two-player game, where you are building various islands around Greece, I think. I think it's a Greek thing. That's fitting.
Sure.
Nice.
We did that on purpose.
You build islands and sail boats around the islands as you build them, discovering temples on those islands, which are found on these cards that are like secret objectives with what is essentially coordinates. It's really interesting. The cards that you have show the requirement for where to find a temple. You build the islands and that creates those requirements. It's a lot of different things that all blend together really, really well. And it's really satisfying to play, and you have to be careful with your money, and you have to be careful of where you put things, and there's like room to be a huge jerk, because you can claim an island before someone else claims an island, and oh, it's just, it's so good.
Yeah,
it's,
there's room to be ambitious as well.
Yeah.
And when you pull off one of those super boss moves, it's really exciting.
Mm-hmm. Also, it's a tile placement game where every single tile fits everywhere regardless, and that for some reason to me is really satisfying. Like, there's none of those moments like in Carcassonne where you go and put down a tile and there's like, oh, I can't put it here, I can't put it here, I can't put it here. It's just, you can put it anywhere you want, but where is the best for you? And that's really nice.
Yeah.
Enjoy that.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So that's Akrotiri.
Oh, by Jay Cormier and Sang Foon Lim, and published by Z-Man Games. Question two.
This is submitted by MBigD011. That's certainly how that person intended it to be read. Hello, everyone. My family has mastered Dragonwood, and although we love it, we're looking for the next level up. My children are 5 and 7 years old, but they oftentimes beat the parents. They have mastered this game, and we are looking for a game with a similar style that has increased complexity / difficulty / playtime. Cheers. Cheers to you, too.
Clink.
MBigD011.
We've got a couple of rip-roaring good time games here. Number one is the 2017 Spiel des Jahres Game of the Year, which is, of course, King Domino by Bruno Cathala, published by Blue Orange Games. This is a game that I have quite frequently played with kids, and I think you have as well?
A couple times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This game is great for kids of all ages. I feel like it has something for everyone, starting with colors have to connect. That's great. Like in dominoes, but with like different areas. Another thing that's great about it is the back of the tiles all have numbers, and you have to put those numbers in numerical order, which is great for counting in the early years. I found that was lots of fun and really useful as well.
Mm-hmm.
And also, it helps that the game is really good and really well made and fun.
Yeah, it's sort of intuitive. There are placement rules that might take them a little bit of time to wrap their heads around, but once they understand that, it's really hard to like completely fail at the game, as long as you're placing things adjacent to other things.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they will instinctively be drawn to the crowns, which will increase their scores. So, yeah, I think it's a win-win.
Mm-hmm.
So that's King Domino by Bruno Cathala. My recommendation is called Scare It. It actually just came out last year, And it's recommended for kids ages 8 and up, but it sounds like you have some pretty smart kids. So I reckon they could handle it fairly easily. In this game, you lay out a grid of, 6 by 6 or something like that. Each card on the table has an animal, either an elephant, a dog, a cat, or a mouse, and is a color, either like purple, yellow, orange, or blue, I think. And then each player in their hand gets a color and an animal. And at the end of the game, you want there to be the most of your thing remaining on the table. So if I have an elephant in my hand and the color purple, I want there to be lots of elephants and lots of purple things. And I especially want there to be lots of purple elephants. So the way that it works is there's a scare cycle. So elephants scare dogs, dogs scare cats, cats scare mice, and mice scare elephants, of course. So any two cards that are adjacent to each other are positioned to scare. So I might have a cat beside a dog. I will say the dog scares this cat. The cat is removed from the game. The dog then has the opportunity to move sideways if he wants to, and then the rest of the column will drop down. So there's a bit of strategy as you learn the game a little bit more about which cards to remove, and if you drop this column down, it'll take maybe one of your purple elephants out of the path of danger, that sort of thing. So it sort of like gains in complexity the more that you understand it, which is nice. I think you guys would have a good time with this one. And the art style is kind of aligned with Dragonwood, which is what made me think of it in the first place.
Nice.
Not really, but it's that soft kind of fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's nice. I think it's a good one. So that is called Scare It. And that's by Adrian Dinu. And published by Strawberry Studio.
Yeah, who were all really lovely at Essen. We went and looked at all their games.
Yeah.
And that was how we discovered this one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Question over. It's time for the next segment, which is what we played
today.
These are the games we played
today.
And the games we played were good.
Today.
Mostly.
We started out our day by playing Village in Greek.
Yeah. Which doesn't matter because there's not really any text on anything apart from the rulebook.
Yeah, it was pretty fine. We just loaded a rulebook on our phones and learned the game that way, which is how we've been surviving in many foreign game cafes.
Yeah. Spain and Greece mostly.
Yeah, Spain was okay though. I know a bit of Spanish and like things kind of look familiar, but Greece is a totally new alphabet, so
yeah.
We didn't have much hope of recognizing anything.
Village was interesting. This is one that I've been wanting to play for a while and flipped through the rulebook like a couple of years ago and thought would be good. And I think it was good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I enjoyed it.
There's a really interesting balance. If you don't know Village, the theme is there's a village. And you have a family, and your family goes off and does things in the village. And as time goes on, the people in your family are going to start dropping off this mortal coil. And depending on what their job was while they were alive, they go into the annals of history.
Or they go into an anonymous graveyard. I think next time... Having gone through it once, I now understand how the sort of numbers on your family members work, because they all have a number on them. So you start with ones in your family, and then as you bring more people into the family, the numbers are higher. And when people die, you always have to kill off the lowest number. So knowing that now, I would probably be a bit more strategic with which numbers I put out onto the game board.
The game also tells interesting stories. Like because of that, my last remaining number one family member was... He was in the town hall, and he moved up the ranks of the town hall over the years, and he got old doing all his politician-y business, and then I moved him back to the farmstead for him to die. And it was all for reasons that got me the most points, but it was kind of fun having this one little dude that I was like, yeah, go old man! It was quite fun.
Yeah, it was good. I liked it overall.
Yeah. The next game we played was Junk Art.
Junk Art!
And I haven't played a good dexterity game in a long time, and this was a very, very, very well-made dexterity game.
Yeah, it had so many play options.
Yes, so if you don't know, Junkart is essentially, it's a game with a bunch of strangely shaped pieces, and then you've got a deck of cards that are like different cities, and those, and every city is a different way to play, basically. So you might have, one of them was you flip over a card, and on that card there is a certain type of piece, and then everyone has to grab that piece as fast as they can and put it onto their tower, and first person just is done, and then everyone else fails. Oh no, it's not the first person.
We only played with two, but yeah. If there's more people, then the last person who says done doesn't get to place their piece.
They were really creative with the types of games that they made. Mm-hmm. The pieces are really satisfying to pile up and touch.
At first I was kind of like, well, this can only go one way. But then we sort of played a little more and discovered that you can actually, like, we made all kinds of weird sculptures out of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was neat.
It was quite fun. I think my favorite game was where you gave pieces to the other person, so they had to make a tower. But then once you did that three times, you went around in the turn order and took the next person's sculpture. And so you didn't want to give really horrible pieces to the next person, because then you would be stuck with that sculpture that you were giving the horrible pieces to. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
And then finally, and I do mean finally, we played Isle of Skye.
Isle of Skye, which I've been wanting to play for a long time. Although I mostly just wanted to play it when we were at Isle of Skye. But this was good. This was good,
yes. You may recall back in the, I don't know, second, third episode,
yeah,
we went to Isle of Skye. And that's when this dream began.
Yeah.
And today, it has come true.
I mean, kind of come true.
Hey, we played.
The main dream was to play it at Isle of Skye.
Well, we played it and we've been to Isle of Skye. I'm going to call that a win.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Cool. Those were the games that we played today.
Today.
Yes. That's, yep. All right. It's time for question three. Are you ready for question three, Shalene?
I am so...
This is...
Wait, ask me again.
It's time for question three, Shalene. Are you ready for question three?
Yes.
That's good, because question three's coming. It's it's coming from Jomsey. And Jomsey says, I request unique character games. I'm looking for games that let each player have a unique identity. Could be as much as having each player play entirely differently and fulfilling different conditions, or as little as simply each player having a unique bonus power that still lets them do the things other players can't.
We can help.
We can.
And I'm sure that you've definitely already the Fergal Bros, because by Tim Farris, because it's,
Tim Farris
it's a great game. But just in case you hadn't, I was just going to quickly recommend Burgle Bros by Tim Farris, Tim Farris Games.
We have been threatening to talk about Burgle Bros for a while now, but we've never really gotten into it.
Are you sure?
I'm positive.
We've never...
We've said, oh, we'll save that for another time, but we've never actually properly gushed.
Oh.
So maybe we should have a little chat about Burgle Bros.
Okay.
Just while we're here.
Well, in Burgle Bros... you each have your own character in a heist. There's different scenarios that you can do, as well as tons of fan-made scenarios that you can do. But it comes with a few. There's multiple stories. By that I mean floors in a building. And you lay them out side by side, but imagine that they're on top of each other. So if you land in A1, you're adjacent to the A1 on the next floor up as well, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So each character has a special ability, and they range from being able to sort of see the future, to being able to hack alarms, to being better at cracking safes. And
flipping over guards.
Yeah, and it's very sort of Ocean's Eleven-y.
Yeah.
And it has such fun artwork, which carries through. We've talked about this. It carries through into Fugitive and...
Sabotage?
Now Boarding.
Burgle Bros is probably our most played cooperative game, for sure, without a doubt.
Co-op, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
We absolutely... love this game, and we always have a really easy time bringing it forward to other people as well.
It helps that it's co-op, and it helps that, especially, I don't know, I think you can't screw it up too badly. Everyone seems to have a fairly good instinct about, like, danger. Mm-hmm. We haven't played with anyone who's like, I'm gonna run into the guard, doopy-doop. Like, you know, so even playing with new people, we often don't feel the need to, what's the word you use, to get
quarterbacking.
Yeah. We're able to just sit back and let them make their own decisions a lot of the time. If they ask, we'll say, we think this. But yeah, it always feels cooperative when we play it.
Yeah.
As opposed to, like, I found with Pandemic, I definitely try quarterbacking. Or, I mean, I try not to, but I find myself doing it.
Yeah, the artwork is fun. The theme is fantastic. Just, yeah, Burgle Bros, I think it's, like, the next step up for Pandemic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, in addition to Burgle Bros, just really quickly, I'm going to drop in Zombicide as a game where each character has their own sort of stats and abilities, and Dead of Winter as well, like those sorts of fighty games, and most zombie games, people have their own characteristics, so those would be worth checking out as well.
So, I would like to recommend a little game called Terraforming Mars by Jacob Fricelius and published by Fricks Games. And the reason why I think Terraforming Mars would be good is because at the start of the game, you begin with your own faction or, like, corporation, basically. And that corporation, it doesn't dictate how you're going to play the rest of the game, but it does give you a really good idea of where to go from the start. And you can get some really satisfying combinations as the game goes on. I found I started off with a faction where every time I got a card that was worth victory points, I got a little bit of money. And so from then on, I was just going for every single card that had victory points on it. At the end of the game, I got so many victory points. I didn't win because I was just ignoring other stuff. But Terraforming Mars is a wonderful, wonderful engine builder, territory control style game that works so, so well with two players. There's so much to say about Terraforming Mars.
I keep telling Will to just marry it already.
Careful.
Anyways, lots of love for Terraforming Mars.
Yes, so Terraforming Mars has unique starting factions. The Prelude expansion can also make that a lot more interesting. Yeah.
Oh, definitely get Prelude.
Yeah.
It just launches you into the game instead of, like, starting from a jog. Or a slow walk.
But the slow walk can be good, if that's what you're into.
Yeah. It just kind of jumpstarts everything a little bit.
Yeah. Should we stop this podcast?
Not forever.
What?
I think we should just, you know, hit the old pause button. We'll give everyone a break.
Okay.
For listening to my scratchy, fading voice.
Yeah, I'm fading as well.
And then we'll see them, like, next month, probably.
Okay, well, we'll see.
or next week, if we're real ambitious.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're off to Thessalonica next week, which is in the northern part of Greece. And then we're off to Bulgaria, which is kind of exciting.
Yeah, that's going to be good. Okay, have a great day, everybody.
Thanks for listening. You're a good person.